Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. Today, Mark Jenkinson shares from his recent trip to Belize and introduces us to Psalm 46. And now, here's Mark.
Now, this is a bit of a different presentation than you might be used to. And there will be requests at various moments for your involvement. Thank you for welcoming us here. Thank you for your prayers. We've known how many of you were praying for us this past summer on our trip to Belize, so thank you for that. The answers to your prayers are ongoing in the work that God is doing in Belize. And as our family considered what we could share on a trip to Belize, we realized we had a broad audience. We had a group of young orphan children. We had a group of men in a halfway home struggling between addiction and crime and trying to find their way in this world. We had a seniors home. And the diversity of that group goes from one end of the spectrum to the other. And so prayerfully we said, what can we bring of the Lord to edify, to build up, to draw each and every one to the Lord, to the Word, to God's Word? And our conclusion brought us to a point which brings us here today, where we say that message is just as applicable here at Bible Fellowship Assembly on a Thanksgiving weekend as it is on a hot, muggy, Belizean afternoon. And so we thought we would share it with you. Because we want to encourage you to say, hey, the simplicity of God's Word is not something that needs to overwhelm us. We don't need to come to God's Word struggle with understanding it. God's Word reminds us to hide His Word in our hearts.
And so we thought, you know what, we want to bring God's Word to the children, to the men, to the seniors, to the youth group that we visited. We want them to come away with an appreciation for how it can be easier to memorize God's Word. And by hiding God's Word in your heart, over time, as God's Word takes hold of your heart and His Spirit waters these hearts that are hard, His Spirit waters our hearts, softens them to the truths that are in those words. And that's the reality. You can have God's Word and not fully understand it, but over time, as God speaks His Word and His Spirit softening and enlightening and bringing His truth to your heart and to your mind. And so there's two things that we wanted to bring. We wanted to bring to Belize, to teach the children, to teach the seniors and the men, that we can sing God's Word. And so to lead off this morning, I'm going to invite my family to come to the stage, and we're going to sing Psalm 46 for you. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there, because we're going to be going through Psalm 46 this morning. And in actual fact, if you wish, you can sing along with us. Maybe you know the song. It's the Corner Room. They do a great job of putting God's Word to music. And so this morning we will be singing Psalm 46.
Thank you, Bruce, for lending me your guitar.
God is our refuge and strength.
depending on how your brain is wired, music may be a great way to get God's word in your heart. And so I encourage you to check out the Corner Room Music. They do a lot of the Psalms. They do a lot of New Testament passages. And getting God's word into your heart is important. The second way that you can get God's word into the heart, your heart, and this is something that I've done since a young boy, was through doodles and sketches and illustrations. And that's kind of how my brain works. I'm a visual learner. So when I draw something, I can remember it better. And God's word can be drawn. You can doodle God's word. I hope it's not too irreverent to take God's word and apply pictures to it to help you remember the words and even potentially the meaning behind those words. And so we have a little something special for the kids and the children at heart, those who like to draw, those who like to color. If you want to color while I'm talking, we actually have coloring books for you that we made for the book of this chapter of Psalm 46. And so I'm going to ask my kids to grab a few books, maybe each take three or four, and just walk down through the audience. And if you want a coloring book, even if you want to just look at it, put your hand up. And Estee, maybe you can bang the basket of crayons.
Okay.
Think, yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll see how many bags we have. Thank you, Linda, for assembling these bags of crayons. Just put your hand up nice and high. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. And I give you permission to color while I'm talking. And but with one, let's make a deal here. One deal. That as you're coloring, you're still listening. But that also that you're coloring the verse that we're talking about. Okay? And I'll give the kids a few more minutes to hand out books. There's a bunch in the back, right? You want to just take the whole box even. Now the first coloring page is verse 1. And I'll just give you a little secret here. There's a decoder page at the back of the book. And the decoder page is the one that reveals all the answers. It's the answer page. It's the verses. It's Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. And you may need that decoder page because our family, we came up with pictures that help us remember. But at a first glance, they might not help you. And in honesty, maybe there's better pictures that you would prefer, that you could draw, that help you remember. So this is not a rule. This is just a principle that if there's a picture for a word in that verse that helps you remember, then draw that picture. And so we start with the first verse, and it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I was amazed, actually. I didn't know if the people in Belize, the children especially, would know what the game Trouble was, but they did. They knew about this game Trouble. But we wanted to talk with them about what does it mean to have God is our refuge. What is a refuge? What is a protector? Oh. Now this first verse, it's a summary. This first verse is a summary of the entire chapter. And it describes to us who God is. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. And so how do we talk about God being our refuge? Well, I want to invite my daughter, Mael and Estee to come forward. And they need your help. So we need a few volunteers to come to the front. Maybe if you're good at baseball, you're cheering for the Blue Jays to win tonight. I need you to come to the front, represent your kids. So Maya, do you want to use the microphone? Just come up here. No, she stay there. You come on up. Come on up, Maya. Yes. No, you stay down there. Cause they have
no,
to
you
do.
Can. Okay.
Perfect.
Okay, so we're going to play a little game. Maybe back up a bit. Okay, perfect. So we're going to play a little game. You all have a piece of paper. Crumple it up if you haven't. I'm looking at you. And then you're going to throw it at Estee, but not yet. I'm going to count to three, and you're going to throw it at Estee, okay? She promised to not sue anybody who homes, so it's okay. Okay. One, two, three.
All right, a simple illustration about what it means to be in a refuge. Behind the protective walls of God's city. And that's what Psalm 46 is describing. It's describing a city of God where we can run to for refuge. And the refuge, the walls are thick, the walls are high, and those who are in the refuge are protected. Proverbs 8:18-10 talks about God as a refuge of protection when it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." And so a protective city is what God is. He is this protection to be run into. I think of a story that just took place down the street here. And I'm a young boy, maybe 8 years old, riding the bus home from school. And there's a bully in the back row, and his eyes are fixed on me. And I know that I'm in danger. I know that he has it out for me. And I know the moment that the school bus doors open, he's going to be in hot pursuit. And so this moment happens, and I start running out of the bus. And our home is 100 yards from where the bus drops us off. And I'm running, and I'm running, and he's pursuing, and he's pursuing. I'm going to pause the story right there. I'm going to leave you in suspense at how it turns out. But I was heading for the refuge of my home. I made a beeline for it. And so God is our refuge, that strong wall, that strong protector. And so a city that has a strong wall in the ancient days would have been known for those qualities. Protection. But then a city also would need other qualities. Because if there's an invading army outside your city, and they're encamped around you for months, possibly even years, you're going to run out of provision. You're going to run out of food and water. And so every city needs to have what's described here in verse 4, where it says, this is verse 4, where it says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God." The city of God rejoices in the ongoing provision of a river that sustains, that keeps them alive in the midst of an onslaught. And the water from this river never runs dry. We could call it an eternal source from God himself. That's his claim. And that's the claim of Jesus. And I want to invite Rylander to come up and talk about some eternal water that he brought with him.
Hello, everyone. Right here, I've got a jug of water, and I'm going to pour it into this cup. That's all. I've got everlasting water, and I'm going to pour it into this jug and show you how everlasting this water actually is. So I'm just going to take this jug and pour the water back into this cup, and you're like, that's all the water. That's it. But wait, there's more. And you're like, how is that possible? There's still more water, and I'm just going to keep on pouring until eventually It overflows.
Jesus said these words. He said, everyone that drinks of this water, he's referring to a well, the well water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And so within the city of God, fortified with thick and high walls, there is a river with everlasting water that never runs out, satisfying, quenching your thirst. Are we thirsty? Are we in a place where we are needing protection? Do you feel the need for protection in this life? And I'm not speaking specifically of physical protection. But then the verse goes on. Verse goes on to say that God is not just our refuge, but he's also our strength. And God as our strength speaks to a city that just doesn't have just thick and high walls, doesn't just have a providing water stream, but it speaks to its foundation. And the foundation is strong. The foundation of God's city, where you can run for refuge, is strong and mighty. We see that. We see that here in verse 5, where it says that God is in the midst of this city. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. There's a stability because of the strong foundation. No earthquake is going to bring this city down. The foundation is sturdy. Life sometimes can feel like the ground is shaking. Life can sometimes feel like the storms are unbearable. I want to invite my wife Lucy to come share just her own personal experience with a storm in her life. And yeah, come on up, use the mic.
So 5 years ago, I ended up in the hospital. I was very, very sick, and it came on very suddenly. I was having pain in my joints. I was having very serious headaches, heart issues, neurological issues. If you don't know what neurological means, some of you kids, it means my brain was not working like it should. So I wasn't even able to think properly and talk properly. I started stuttering. And then I also had something called Bell's palsy, which means half of my face was completely not working. And that was the sign where my husband said, let's get this woman to the hospital now. Even the doctors were quite concerned. What is happening to this woman? They were doing tests, could not find out what was happening. But eventually they sent me home, and we were still waiting to find out what was wrong with me. Is this our life now? And that's possible. That could have been our life. As you can see, God has obviously healed me. That's a story for another day. But the point is that during that very scary season, we were quite stressed out. We were feeling quite under attack and very scared. And I literally felt like I was a tiny little ship in the middle of a raging storm on the ocean of life, and feeling literally at moments, I literally almost felt seasick. That's how stressed out and like, what is happening? This was very difficult. I was unable to care for my children, and Mark was having to carry it all. So in the midst of this storm that I'm experiencing, another very distinct feeling was also happening. I felt like I was being tossed to and fro. And yet, in the deepest part of me, I literally felt like I was anchored. And that anchor that was holding me, that I felt secure and solid, was Christ, was Jesus. I'm not making this up. I'm telling you, life might be chaos for the rest of our life, unless the Lord healed me. we knew that we could trust Jesus, that he knew what was happening to us. He knew what he was doing. And so that strong, secure foundation that Psalm 46 talks about, that she shall not be moved, that she is the body of Christ, who, when we put our hope in Christ, even though it doesn't mean he takes away all the problems in our life, but in the midst of that, there was an anchor, and I wasn't going anywhere.
The words of Jesus were very near and dear to us in that moment when Christ himself spoke to the storm and he said, "Peace, be still." And the storms of this life, the challenges, the hardships, are only stilled by his strong and mighty voice. And Psalm 46 talks about that. We have a strong foundation in our God, and he speaks strongly with a loud, authoritative voice. We see it here in Psalm 46. It talks about the nations are raging and the kingdoms totter. These are the leaders that should be strong and authoritative in their voice. But they are not stronger than the voice of the one who utters his voice and the earth melts. This is a voice at which, at his command, he spoke this universe into existence. Let there be light. This is the same voice that I invite my son Tobin to come and share with you a bit about.
All right. Hello, everyone. So today, I'm going to be looking at Hebrews 1, verse 3, which says, "He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power." So when I read this verse, and like you may also think this, you may think, of course Jesus is powerful, he's God. But sometimes I feel like this kind of just goes like over our heads and goes in one ear and out the other, and we don't really think about that much. So I'm here to like say how strong Jesus really is. So you guys all know how big a basketball is. I got one right here. So if I'm going to do a little bit of a science lesson. If the sun, which like gives all the energy on Earth, was the size of this basketball, then the Earth, which is where we live, will be the size of this tiny popcorn kernel. You see that? So how far apart would they be? Would they be like this far, this far? No, it'd be two school buses away, which would be like from here all the way to the end of the room. So now we're going to go back to real life. In real life, the sun is about 150 million kilometers from the Earth. And if you wanted to walk that distance, it'd take you 3,000 years, even if you walked all day, every day. Now, last thing, and this is the crazy part. Scientists have looked at the stars and the universe and how far apart everything is, and they're like, hold up. There isn't enough like gravity to keep the universe together. It should all fly apart. So because of that, they made up something called dark matter, and it keeps the universe together, and like you can't detect it other than that. But you know what I think is Jesus, and the Bible already told us he holds the universe together by the word of his power.
So every atom, every molecule, your DNA, your cells, at this very moment, are being held together by the word of his power. And in this moment, right here, right now, his voice speaks powerfully and strongly to us from his word. And he's for you. And the authority with which he speaks is no greater spoken than in that moment. Matthew 27 says that Jesus spoke with a loud voice, a strong voice. Matthew 27 doesn't say what he said. What was it that he said that was so strong and so mighty, so powerful? Well, John fills in the gaps. In John 19:30, we hear these words, "It is finished." And he spoke it loud, authoritatively, declaring for all eternity that your sins, that my sins, that the brokenness of this world has not defeated our greatest enemy, the one that encamps outside the city trying to destroy us. Jesus has won. And the mighty voice is yours to hear this morning, that Christ speaks to you. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your worries, regardless of your fears, regardless of our sins, our past, our present, and our future, God is our refuge and strength. And this is no greater scene than in Psalm 46:1, where it says, again, let's repeat it with us together. Let's say, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's not absent. He is a strong presence. He is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress because the Lord of hosts is with us. Jesus' name, they said, name him Emmanuel, which is God with us. And in his strong presence, he came. He died, yes, but he rose victorious. And he stands at the Father's right hand as a strong presence on your behalf. He is the King of Kings of this city, of this mighty, strong city of God. And he speaks on your behalf. He says, "My blood was shed for Tobin. My blood was shed for Este, for you, for me." And by faith, we run. We run to the city because we look and we run towards a city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. This is not a physical city. This is a spiritual fortress where God is the walls, where God is the river, where God is the foundation, where Jesus is the king. And he's the builder. My brother-in-law Dan has built a lot of things in his life. And the quality of his build far exceeds anything I could ever accomplish. But there is one who builds greater than even my brother-in-law Dan. It's God himself, the architect of this city. So we run back to this moment in time where I am in danger. I am running towards the fortress of my parents' home, my family home. And I made such a foolish mistake. I stopped running. I turned around, and in my arrogance, I thought, I can defeat them. I can fight him. Sure, he's bigger. Sure, he's stronger. He drop kicked me in the chest, and I'm lying on the ground. And if it wasn't for a neighbor who came from a house across the street who saw and witnessed this unfold, I don't know if I would be here today. And so when we talk about God being our fortress, we talk about God being our refuge, the only thing we can do is run. We can't stop running. We can't turn around. Think for a moment that we can fight. The Lord who fights for you protects you. And so we are just called to run. Our challenge for the kids and the seniors, and the men of Belize and you this morning is, are you running to the refuge? And maybe if you are running, are you staying and remaining, abiding in the refuge? God, our protector, our strength, with his mighty, strong voice, with his leadership, his kingship over your life, submitting to his authority, drawing from the wellsprings of life, the river of his word and his spirit. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You see, when we say God is our refuge, we're making a statement very similar to that statement that you're all familiar with when we say God is love. Or we say God is faithful. Or God is merciful. These are characteristics that fall in line with his character, of who he is. And so when we say God is our refuge, it is in his character to protect you, to love you, to shield you. So we run to him. If you're not inside the refuge of God this morning, if you have not come to God and said, I believe that Jesus is my only hope, that he is my protection, that he is my shelter. Yes, Lord, I run to him today. Lord, I encourage you. I encourage you. Bible Fellowship Assembly, run to Christ. We want to close with another song. This is a song of God's awesomeness. You may know it as well, so please join in as you feel led. What an awesome God is our refuge.
Well, thank you very much for that presentation. We're grateful for that you went to Belize and then that you came back and worship and helped us in our worship this morning. Well, thankful for Thanksgiving and that we could all be together and praising our Lord. Let's give thanks and end in prayer. Thank you again, Father, for this wonderful day and for this time together. And may you continue to bless us. And thank you for this idea and thought of the strong refuge that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you're in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.